Test, test, test. Okay, it says it has full battery. Testing.
1, 2, 3.
Can you hear me now, Bill? Brad and Missy, good morning. You want me to turn this off or leave it on?
Morning.
Good morning. I'm going to do something I haven't done for you guys. I'm going to sing. Is that okay? You're a rough group.
Check, check.
Good morning. How about, is that better? I have not sung for a couple years. This is one of my favorite songs. It was sung by Lee Greenwood. Anybody know Lee Greenwood? And he does it better than I do. But it is still a great song. And someone said this morning, can I sing along with you? I would love for you to sing along with me. If you want to stand, is it okay? Go ahead and stand up. If you're a veteran, you don't have to stand up. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand if you're a veteran. All right, let's give it up for these people. All right. We thank you for your service. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be here today. Amen. And this song is for you guys. If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again, just my children and my wife. I'd thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, and across the plains of Texas, and from sea to shining sea, Detroit down to Houston, from New York to LA, well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say. An American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless USA. American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. How was that for 2 years? That's a good song. How long has it been? It's been a long time since he sang that, but I still like it, don't you? If you have your Bibles, turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And I am proud to be an American, are you? Yes. And I'm very patriotic. Anybody else patriotic? I mean, how many guys wear an American flag on their tie on a Sunday morning? You know, I get to wear it once a year. Well, every once in a while, 2 years on Memorial Day. But I got to tell you, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else, would you? I visited other places. I've been to Burma. It's great to visit. It's always good to come home. And one of the things I like to do is go to the cemetery. Anybody else? And I look at those decorated graves. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I went out to Ohio one time, and there was some American Revolutionary soldiers that had died. And that was really, really rare for me to see, because I've seen Civil War, several Civil War graves before, not very many Revolutionary graves. And that was very touching for me. But I love to live here. I love to visit. I love to visit cemeteries. And I love to remember what those men and women did for me and what they did for you. Well, I love America, but I also want you to know that it's a crazy place to live at times. I want you to listen to this. Only in America can pizza get to your house faster than the ambulance. Only in America do drugstores make a sick person walk all the way to the back to get their drug prescriptions, while the not-so-sick people can buy just about anything they want at the front counter except medication. Only in America do people order cheeseburgers, large fries, and a Diet Coke. You've heard that. Only in America do we leave our cars worth thousands of dollars parked in our driveways while we fill our garage full of stuff that is absolutely worthless. Go ahead and raise your hand if you cannot get your car in your garage. Some of you are not being honest. Here's one. Only in America do we use answer machines to screen our calls, and then we pay for caller ID so that we'll know who called us. Now, isn't that crazy? We do that, though. Only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10, and we buy buns in packages of what? Have you not figured that one out yet? I haven't. And we got to buy a whole new bag, and the rest of the 8 gets stale. I don't know. Here, you heard of this one? Only in America do we have Braille for the blind on drive-up ATM machines. Think about that. Drive-up ATM machines do have Braille, and I think that was kind of crazy. Well, I tell you, it is a crazy place to live, isn't it? And you got to be a little crazy to live here, but where would you rather live? I mean, really, where would you rather live? I want to live here. But as crazy as it is, I want you to know America has a lot of problems. We have a lot of problems across this great land. I want to talk about a few of those problems this morning. I've entitled this sermon, Prayers for America. And do you get a handout in your bulletin? Try to put something there so you can follow along. And I think that we need to pray more, don't you? I think our nation needs prayer. I think our family needs prayers. I think our school needs prayers. I think our governing official needs prayers. I think our churches need more prayers. I think we need to be a praying people. And one of the things that we don't do very well is pray. And I'm going to tell you something. Beginning today, you begin to pray, I promise you, great things will happen here in America. We just got to learn to pray. Politically, our government has been paralyzed by partisanship. Culturally, we become more and more secular, whether you realize it or not. Internationally, we have a lower reputation now than we ever have in the history of America. Why is that? Even before this coronavirus and this ridiculous riots, amen? Isn't that ridiculous? I'm thinking about preaching a sermon next week entitled, Don't Repay Evil with Evil. And that's what we're doing. We're repaying evil with evil, and it's wrong. But we had problems way before Corona. We had problems way before these riots. And these guys tearing down these statues, how ridiculous is that? And you men and women that are teachers in our school system, isn't that crazy? Our kids need to know about those statues because that's a part of our history. And maybe I'm a minority this morning, but I want you to know my minority is right. I think we need to keep those statues intact, don't you? I'm not sure, but I've heard that President Trump just passed a law. If you deface a statue, you get 10 years imprisonment. Great. That's what we need to do. That's a part of our history. Our country needs healing in our economy. We need healing in our businesses. We need healing in our schools. We need healing in our marriages. And get this, I believe we need healing in our churches. Anyone else believe that? I think we do. But what's going to take place in the United States of America as we celebrate our 244th birthday? And get this, America, we're not that old. We really are not. Compared to Israel, look how old they are. They go way back. We're only 244 years old. And I want you to know this. We have plummeted in 244 years to a place that we need not be. Amen? We need not be there. And the best thing that we can do as Americans is to get down on our knees and pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. Our scripture this morning is 2 Chronicles, and I want to focus on chapter 7, verses 12 through 14, if you want to turn there in your Bibles or smartphones. And I want to focus mainly on verse 14, which is printed on the front of your bulletins. I'm getting a little crafty in my old age, but we do have a new secretary. Sherry's going to clean everything up for us, you know. So thanks, Sherry, for taking on that job. So congratulate her sometime today. While you're turning there, let me give you just a little bit of background, what's going on in the verse. It was written by Ezra the priest, who was also an author, who was also a prophet, almost 2,500 years ago. After King Solomon had dedicated the temple, the Lord appeared to him by night, and the Lord said these words, follow along, beginning with verse 12. I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When, I want you to circle the word when, it's so big. He says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, say it with me, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. I want you to notice something here. This passage is written in past, present, and future tense. The word when is so big, because God already knew that it was going to happen. He already knew that even though the temple was beautiful, it was dedicated, and Solomon would be the most powerful person on planet Earth, and they would see years of peace under Solomon's rule, even though Solomon even turned his back on God. God knew that he would bless them, but he also knew that they would turn their backs against him. And he says, when I command the locusts to devour the land, when I send a plague among the people. God already knew what would happen with Israel. Can I tell you this? God already knew what would happen with us. God already knew that we'd become a mess. Have we got there yet? I think so. The killing of innocent children, some of the things that we have made a law in this nation, goes against the policies of God's Word. And it's wrong. We need to get back to the book, don't we? We need to repent of our sins. Friends, this passage this morning is not just for Israel, it's for us. And I want to take a close look at it this morning, because I think we need to keep our president, our senators, our congressmen, our state legislation, our state representative, we need to keep them in our prayers. We need to keep our schools in our prayers. We're governing buildings in our prayers. We need to get the Ten Commandments back on our governing buildings. We need to get prayer back in our schools. Amen? Wouldn't it be great if our children could carry a Bible to church and to school without being persecuted and harassed? Wouldn't that be great? Here's what we need to do. We need to stand shoulder to shoulder. As a church, we need to bow a knee to the Father, and we need to pray for America. We need that. Well, this morning, if you're taking notes in the bulletin, I want to mention four specific actions that we need to take to begin the healing process here in America. Number one, we need to confess with humility. Confess with humility. Friends, I want you to know today that there is way too much pride in America. It's all right to be proud to be an American. That's all right to be proud to be American, but don't take it too far. Don't take it to the point where you're better than everyone else. Don't take it to the point where you think you're better than every other nation. I want you to know Jesus Christ died for all people. The Mexicans, the Haitians, the Burmese, the people in Africa that have never heard of the name of Jesus before. Have you ever heard of the 1040 window? There's a lot of nations that are in the 1040 window. 10 up, 40 across. As it goes across Europe, people that have never heard of Jesus Christ. You think they're out there? And I believe that Jesus Christ isn't going to come back until those people have at least heard about His name. That's our job. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. There's way too much pride in our businesses. And in our secular workplaces, we live in a dog-eat-dog world where people do whatever they can to get to the top. Have you seen it?
They'll cut out the middleman, anyone else that gets in their way, so they can be number one, so they can get the higher paycheck, so they can get the higher status, so they can be number one in the workforce, and they don't care who they trample to get there. You think I'm whistling Dixie this morning? It's happening. I've seen it. I saw it where I used to work. I've seen it. There's way too much pride in the family. Do you know there's family members out there that compete who will get married first? Do you know there's family members out there that compete who will have children the first and how many children they'll have? I'm not making this stuff up. There's family members out there who's going to try to get to retirement first before their brother or before their sister so they can have bragging rights. I was more successful than you were. Even some husbands compete with their wives who can make more money in the workforce. Think that happens? Pride. And sometimes there's much pride in our churches. What church can gain the most notoriety? What church can grow the fastest? How many churches can outgrow their building the fastest? Who can get the biggest name in our community? You know what the problem is? Pride. I always thought we was kind of one big church, didn't you? We need to be working together because we're all brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen on that? That's what we need to be doing. And the problem is P-R-I-D-E. If my people will humble themselves, then I will heal their land. But here's the thing. What if we don't? What if we don't humble ourselves? And what if we don't pray? And what if we don't seek God's face? What if we don't? I believe our blessing's done. I don't believe God's going to bless us anymore. If we don't cut out the sin, if we don't go down to our knees, and if we don't humble ourselves before Him, He's going to take His blessing, whatever He's blessed us with, He's going to take that blessing and He's going to take it away and He's going to give it to somebody else. Believe that can happen? I want you to remember something. We're only 244 years old. We're not very old. We can fall away. We can be obsolete of God's blessing if we're not careful. The second thing I want you to see here, we need to learn to pray with tenacity. God told Solomon, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then will I heal their land. When do we often pray? Come on. Huh? When we're laying flat on our back in a hospital bed. Tell me I'm wrong. Oh, yeah. Oh, hi, God. Oh, I forgot to pray to yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before. I'm laying on this hospital bed, Lord, and I want you to heal my body. And God's thinking, why should I? You never talk to me until you're laying flat on your back. You're guilty and I'm guilty. We're all guilty of not praying enough. And we only pray when we get in a crisis situation and God says, hey, I'm here before the crisis and I'll be here after the crisis. And I want you to pray before, during, and after. As I look around in my life, I have so many blessings. If you have nothing else but the freedom in this nation, you have enough. If you have nothing else but the freedom to be here in this place, opening your Bibles, praying out loud, standing during the praise hymn, praise God, taking the Lord's Supper, giving back a portion of your earnings to the Lord, we are blessed. Even if nothing else good happens in our life, we are truly blessed. Do you know how many nations would love to be where we're at today? Do you know how many nations would love to be sitting in these pews here this morning? Do you know how many nations would love to be where we're at? I think we've taken so much for granted, have we not? But God wants us to learn out of habit, with tenacity, and He wants us to never stop praying. But too often we say, a dime's worth of prayer, and we expect $1 million answer. It doesn't happen that way. Have you ever heard someone ask you, have you prayed about that? You ever heard that? And sometimes I'll answer, yeah. Didn't tell them, I only prayed for about 1 minute. But I did pray about it. And God says, 1 minute, really? Pray with tenacity. Do you really want this to happen? You know, if we want $1 million, well, maybe I shouldn't go there. But if you knew that enough prayer would get it, you'd probably pray for it, wouldn't you? If you have a sick person at home and you want them to get well, wouldn't you pray for them? Wouldn't you pray for them with tenacity? We ought to. I believe we ought to be there right now. We ought to pray about it. The average Christian prays only 3 minutes a day. 3 minutes. I'm not talking about dinner, supper, breakfast. I'm talking about 3 minutes of, "Hi, Lord, how are you doing this morning? Thank you for the blessings that you've given me in my life." I want to tell you something that actually happened in our family. My wife's dad, his name is David. He'll be here eventually to visit with us. He had a guy in his church that hurt him deeply. I don't know all the details of what happened, but he hurt him deeply. He humiliated him even in public. And if it were me, I would have responded way differently than what David did. He didn't get mad. He didn't call him out. He just decided that he was going to pray for the man. I didn't say kill the man. I said pray for the man. You know how long he prayed for him? What, 20 years? 20, 30 years prayed for the man. And 20 or 30 years later, that man came to David in tears, pride set aside, and he said, "David, I just want you to know that I'm sorry what happened 20 years ago." David never stopped praying for the man. Would I have done that? Nah, can't promise that. But he did. What do we need to do in our world today? What do we need to do for America, for our families, for our schools, for our government, our governing officials? What do we need to do? We need to pray with tenacity. Write these verses down. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Learn to pray without ceasing." Now, he's not saying start at 8 o'clock in the morning, go at 8 o'clock at night, and then go to bed and wake up and do the same. He's not talking about that. What he's talking about, right inside of your Bible, he's talking about getting to a habit. Getting to a habit of praying. Pray without ceasing. If something goes good in your life, pray about it. If something goes bad in your life, guess what? Pray about it. That's what we need to do. And Jesus said in Matthew 21:22, "If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." And some of you are thinking, no, well, you've already lost faith. God can do whatever He wants. God can do whatever He wants. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Don't you wish you put the word tenacious prayer? Because that's what He's talking about. Whatever you ask for in tenacious prayer. Don't give up on your prayer life. Keep praying. Keep praying tenaciously for that person, that friend, that coworker, that son, that daughter that maybe has gone astray, gone down the wrong path. Pray for them. Maybe it's a spouse you need to pray for. Pray for them. Don't give up praying. I've seen prayers answered 20 years later after they've been prayed for. Anyone else? I've seen it happen. I've seen people walk the aisle, and I never thought in a million years they'd walk the aisle. But you know why they did? Prayer. People praying for them. God can do amazing things. I have an assignment for you right here this morning. Write it down. The next time you find yourself criticizing America, criticizing our president, our senators, our congressmen, and our governor, stop, drop, and not roll, pray. Stop, drop, and pray. So, if we're standing outside and we start criticizing people and somebody around you drops their knees, they listen to the sermon. That's your assignment. Well, number three, we must learn to seek God with intensity. God says, "If my people will seek my face, then will I heal their land." How many of you remember dating your wife or your husband? How many of you remember those times? What'd you do? Called them all the time, wrote love letters. Ladies, how many of you still have love letters from your husband? That is so sick. Man, we did that stuff, didn't we? Man, we'd drive for miles. We would go out to eat when we could afford it, and we'd go to the movies and we'd hold hands. And I see couples that are holding hands, and first thing that comes to my mind is not married yet. But I still see couples holding hands that have been married for years. And get this, I remember looking into my wife's face and actually paying attention. I remember those days. How many remember those days? When you actually paid attention to your wife, you looked her eye to eye, face to face, and she knew that you had her undivided attention. That just don't happen anymore. People that, man, they're down there pigging out, eating their food, they don't care about their wife. Matter of fact, I forgot to open the door for my for my wife this week. Anybody else forget to do that? And we went to the Amish place. Neps, K-N-E-P-P-S. And I got my food because I was so hungry. I hadn't had anything all day. She's up there sitting there waiting in line. I'm thinking, oops, messed up big time. And I knew it. She come back to the table and she said, you could have waited for me. You could have let me go first. I said, I know, I'm sorry. And I actually kind of meant it. But you know what? God wants us to look up to Him. Look to His face and ask for forgiveness. Ask for healing. We need to do that. Here's a question for you this morning. What do you think happens when you pursue God with the same level intensity that you had when you pursued your spouse? He listens. And friends, God wants us to pursue Him. Wouldn't it be great if somebody pulled us over, a cop pulled us over, and they said, why are you driving so fast? I'm pursuing God. I'm pursuing God. Well, you're still going to get a ticket. You can pursue God all you want. But you know, wouldn't it be great if we was just trying to pursue God in every area of our life? We need to do that. This type of pursuit, I want you to know, is very rare. Most people want just a little bit of God. They want just a bit, just an ounce of God or a little bit more than that. But they don't want to be sold out for God. That's too much. You know, God might ask me to do too much. He might ask me to go on a mission trip, or He might ask me to be a missionary. And we want, do you think that's true? We want just enough of God to be comfortable. But here's what God says. I want you to look me in the face. I want you to be sold out for me. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir because the choir need to hear it. Amen. We need to hear it. We need to be sold out for God. We need to seek Him with intensity. What were you doing September 11th, 2001? I was turning on the TV. I already told you this. I thought it was a movie. And when I saw the World Trade Centers being bombed, wow. At first, I thought it was an accident. When the second plane hit the second World Trade Center, I knew it was a terrorist attack. And Shepard Smith reminded us that we have been attacked by terrorists. You know what? I'll never forget that. And I think those bumper stickers are correct. Never forget. I'll never forget what happened September 9th, 2011. Even I'll remember it more than the coronavirus, if that's possible. And this is bad enough, isn't it? It's bad enough. It wasn't as bad as 9/11. It was a terrible day for America. If you recall back in those days, the ACLU was alive and well. They were trying to take prayers and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. They were being very successful. They were trying to take prayers off of our national television. Remember? They was even trying to close down the sermons on television and TV. They were doing a pretty good job. And then 9/11 happened. And you didn't hear much from the ACLU for a while. You remember that? Didn't hear much from them. And President Bush said this. What did he tell us to do? Pray for America. Go home and pray. And I told my wife, I said, time out, hold the phone. He can't say that. The ACLU's taking prayer out of our schools. They've taken prayer out of our governing. He can't say prayer on TV. But he did. You know why? Because when we're laying flat on our back, who do we turn to? The Lord God Almighty. But you know what? I think it's high time we turn to Him now. Not right before a crisis or during a crisis. We need to pray to God intensely now. And I told Ching, I said, you wait, Sunday morning, we'll have a good crowd. We did. We had a full house. We even had a pretty full house the next Sunday and the Sunday after that. But guess what happened? After a while, got back to the normality of life, stopped coming to church, stopped studying the Bible, stopped praying, and we went back down. People got comfortable again. Can I just tell you, that was Satan. That was Satan at his finest. Because he wants us to stay away from this. He wants us to stay away from prayer. He wants us to stay away from church. He wants us to stay away from electing godly men in the White House, in Congress, in the Senate, in the state representative. Can I get an amen? We need godly men in there, godly women. And it only happens through good old-fashioned prayer. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. I like that. The Hebrew writer was right. We need to earnestly seek God with all that we have. How many of you seek God with all of you have when you pray to Him? How many of you seek God when you come to Him, when you get down on your knees? How many of you seek God with all that you got intensely? Learn to do that. The fourth thing that we must do is this. We must repent with sincerity. Finally, God says, if my people will turn from their wicked ways, it means to repent, then will I heal their land. To repent means to do what? Turn 180. You know what we do a lot of times? We turn 360. Now, I can't do that in basketball no more. I played with, Austin's not here, but I played with him Wednesday. I'm still dying. My body's still hurting. All those guys that were in their high school and just out of high school, the average age was 21. And I'm thinking, I'm not playing with you guys anymore. I'm over twice your age. Now, one guy was 30. I felt real sorry for him. But I'm trying to go up and down the court, and I'm thinking, wow, this is killing me. They want to play full court, and I'm dying here. Jim, you need to come out and help me out. But anyway, when I played basketball when I was younger, I could almost do a 360. I couldn't slam, but I could do a 360 and make a shot. Nowadays, I have a hard time doing a 180. But you know what? That's what it means to repent. It means to turn a 180, to stop doing what you're doing and to start doing what is right. Romans 6, 1 through 2, write it down, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's this verse that our nation and our people, in our churches, in our homes, in our marriages, and our schools need to hear. And it says, what shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means, we have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? There are some people that think you can get wasted on Friday night and you can come Saturday and you can ask for forgiveness and they're going to roll your sins over each week. Well, that's baloney. They didn't even teach that in the Old Testament. Even though it was more correct than what it was in the New Testament. Hey, stop sinning on Friday and stop sinning on Saturday so you can come to church and be pure and whole before a living God. Amen? Need to do that. If there's sin in your life right now, stop. Stop right now. If you have a friend or know someone who is involved in a sin right now, it is not your job to ignore them. It is your job to confront them. And I want to tell you something, it's hard. It's so hard. I just want to walk up to them and say, I want you to know something, brother. There is sin in your life, and you need to come to grips with it. You remember when David had an affair with Bathsheba? And Nathan the prophet comes to him, And he's telling about this guy that lost his sheep. Remember that? And David felt so sorry for the man. And he said, you go get the guy that took that sheep away. You know what Nathan said? You the man. It's you. You know what David did? Fell prostrate on the ground. He prayed to his God, Lord, forgive me. And for the rest of his life, we forget this about King David. For the rest of his life, he asked for forgiveness and he humbled himself before God. He prayed with tenacity. Friends, I want you to know that there is a hell that is real. And we don't preach it enough behind our pulpits. We don't preach it enough in our churches, but I want you to know it's real. And it's not something that happens for a temporary time. It is something that happens for eternity. And you can either go to heaven for eternity or you can go to hell. I choose A, don't you? I'd rather go to heaven. But when we wallow in sin and we allow sin to take place in our personal lives, in our family lives, in the life of our churches, and in the life of our nation, we are dabbling with hell. Amen? We are dabbling with that. You know what's wrong with America? We need healing. We need to stop sinning. We need to go back to our knees. We need to pray to a living God that He will have enough mercy and grace to forgive us for the things that we've done here in America. Historian Arnold Toynbee traced 21 major civilizations in history, the history of our world, and he noted this: 19 of the 21 countries that collapsed collapse from moral decay from within. From the governing officials. And also, get this, the churches were involved in those days. Remember that? Churches were involved a lot in politics. We like to keep politics away from our churches, but you can't necessarily do that and be a Christian. You have to involve that, especially when it involves sin. But 19 of the 21 nations that fell apart from within, they decayed. He went on to say this, it happened gradually and quietly, when no one was aware that it was happening, but they slowly rotted away from within and it destroyed them. Wow, 19 of 21. I wonder where America's at. Would you kind of put them in the 2 or the 21? I'd probably put them in the 21 part, wouldn't you? The 19 that have fallen away. I'd kind of probably put them right there. Friends, I want you to know today, it is high time that we stand up for what is right. Stop being afraid that you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. School system, Lawrenceville, Illinois, they need God in our schools. They need the Bible in our schools. And you that are out here, that are teachers, that have been teachers, we need the Bible and prayer back in our schools. Come on. Amen? What's wrong with our families? What's wrong with our kids? We have taken what's most important away from them and we expect them to turn out right? Is there something wrong with us? I hope that someday, not just in Lawrenceville, Illinois, I'm talking about everywhere, that my 3 kids, your kids, and your grandkids can take to school the Holy Word of God. Take the Quran and burn it. And get back to the Holy Word of God, the inspired canonization of the Word of God, where we can pray and study with humility, tenacity, intensity, and sincerity. Pray especially that will happen. It's hard to believe that in 5 months we're going to elect a president. Aren't you glad when that will all be over? We're going to elect not just the president, but we're going to elect some congressmen and senators and state representatives. We're going to elect men and women of God, I hope, don't you? Who will stand up for America, stand up for what is right, and don't be concerned about the ACLU. And don't be concerned about people that try to take prayer and the Bible away from the school. Stand up for what is right, because this is what makes me sick. Can I say that today? We have allowed the minority to control the majority of what America wants. And that is wrong. It is high time that we as Americans, and it begins with the church, stand together shoulder to shoulder or knee to knee as we pray together. And it is high time that we put the Bible back where it belongs, prayer back where it belongs, the Ten Commandments back where they belong, in government, in our schools, in our churches, in our world, in our families' lives. Amen? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. God bless America. Say it with me. God bless America. Let's pray together. Father, this is intense. It's made me intense, and I know it's made these people intense because I've seen what's happened across America, and it is a shame. Lord, we were a nation that was founded on biblical principles by Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and George Washington. All those guys that we think were ancient of days, they weren't ancient of days. They were right on. And the Constitution is written with God in mind. It is written with godly principles and words that come right out of the Bible. And Lord, it's high time we dug it out and read it again. It's high time we got out the Bible and read it. Lord, it's high time we pray. Lord, it's high time we ask for forgiveness. Lord, I pray for our president, congressmen, our senators, our state representatives. Lord, I pray today that they will seek you with all that they have. With tenacity, with sincerity, with humility. And Lord, more than anything, I pray that you'll heal America. Looking forward to that, even in my lifetime, Lord. Looking forward to people getting back to prayer and the Bible. Lord, please forgive us. Help us to seek your face. Help us to heal our land. And help us to remember that it begins with good old-fashioned prayer. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This morning, if you have a decision to make, as we sing, I encourage you to come forward. Maybe you've